My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Friday, New York City, what is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer and Geo are out, so it is Willie and myself till 10 o'clock. We got Rascona, we got Cleveland, Crystal Presti will be here as well. And we have got so much to discuss. Weird. Labor Day weekend is here. Summer pretty much gone. Final summer Friday before we turn to football Fridays next Friday. Hell, it's going to be a football Friday today anyhow. And who better to sit next to me for the next 4 hours plus than the former Steeler, the former Jet, the Super Bowl champion, the Hofstra legend. His name is Willie Colon. Willie, what's up?
Jerry, thank you. That's been the best intro all week. I don't think you've laid it out there.
No, I haven't. I don't know why.
That was amazing. It's almost like it's my first day on the job, the way you just
did it. I agree with that. I don't know why I didn't do it the first time. I should have.
Instead, I appreciate it.
Here's Willie Colon.
Hey, Willie's here, everybody.
Willie's here.
Right.
There's really a ton to do today. And not a whole lot of time to do it. We will get to the Mets next hour probably because they had a really good win yesterday in Arizona in the afternoon. We have the Giants to get to. A couple of odd things there. We've got the NFL season upon us. College football really kicked into gear last night. I got a few things on that I want to get your take on. Jalen Brunson, Mark Cuban, really interesting. We'll get to that in a little while. But I wanted to start, and it's not because you played for the Jets, but because listening to Joe Douglas yesterday, I wanted to put my fist through a wall, and I'm not even a Jet fan. And it's all about this Hassan Reddick thing and this stalemate that they have. And the way Joe Douglas was talking about Reddick and Reddick's agent is as if he is afraid to say the wrong thing to piss them off. And as just a football fan, it was mind-numbing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I love Joe D personally. But listening to him kind of hum-hum-ha his way through it, it felt as if he, I mean, first of all, he's been very honest. He won't kind of talk or negotiate with Hassan Reddick unless he's in the building, and we get that. I think right now Hassan Reddick is, you know, we've talked about it earlier in the week. He's 29. He's going to be 30 September 22nd. He has to get the bag. He's been a double sack guy for the last 4 years. I don't know how they got here. There has been some disconnect between the time.
The time
he became a Jet to when he got to New Jersey, being optimistic about joining Robert Saleh's defense and what they could possibly do, and to not going to OTAs, they've been out ever since. If I'm Joe Douglas in this position right now, you have to now get to the point where you have to figure out somehow to just get him in, right? Because right now the standstill is only hurting the team. But on the flip side of that, you know, Hassan Reddick is as of right now, it seems like he's not coming into the building. It seems like he's going to be watching that game against the 49ers, hoping that this defense can't get home and sack Brock Purdy. And in that case, the pressure's now on Joe Douglas to get him back in the building. So I think he's going to hold out to the opening day. And I think he's praying for his defense to stink it up a little bit so Joe D can pick up the phone and be like, hey, we need you, big fella. You know, let's make it work. I don't know if that's going to happen because the Jets have a pretty damn good defense.
All right, so I agree with that 100%. I've also been on record as saying the Jets don't owe him anything because he's never done anything for them.
Right.
A couple things there that really confuse me with this whole situation. You can go back to when Reddick got here, and I played the clips last week with Boomer and Geo, when Reddick stood in front of the podium and said, I am going to be there. The contract will take care of itself, but I'm here to play football. And I'm paraphrasing, but he was very steadfast in the fact that whatever happens, happens. I will be in uniform, and I'm playing, and I'm excited to be a Jet. Then you've got listening to Joe Douglas yesterday essentially say that there was a conversation about an extension before they made the deal. Couldn't get an extension done, but I guess the conversations that were had were, even if we don't get a deal done, we're good, he'll play, we'll still make the deal. Now this happens. So my question comes back to, which is interesting because it'll come back to Jalen Brunson next hour too when we talk about him. I come back to the agent then.
Yeah.
To me, when I watch Hassan Reddick at that press conference when he first came to Florham Park in April or May, whenever it was, I see a different message, and I see a guy that sounds like, you know what, if I got to go prove it and make the money in the offseason, so be it. But then something happened in the middle that told him, you ain't showing up in that building. And I don't know it's the agent, but I would certainly think outside looking in, it sounds like the agent.
Yeah, it sounds like the agent. And also, I think from a player standpoint, there's a sense of anxiety that sets in, because if he does get hurt without getting this extension, what is his value at that point? Right, we talked about his age coming to fruition. Also, you also got to understand, for Hassan Reddick, man, you know, he's been here before. He doesn't want to prove his worth again. He did it with Philly, and they ended up trading him. Mm-hmm. Right, that's why Huff is over there. They kind of swapped.
Yep.
So I think he's like, listen, man, I want to be a Jet. I want to be here for Robert Saleh in this ball club. But I got to see the money. And with all the injuries going on around the league, with everything that's transpiring. Yes. It's awkward, because I think Robert Saleh, the closer we get to San Fran, the opening week, I think he's like, man, I don't know if we're ready. Because they, you know, you got to get to Brock Purdy. Now Brandon Ayuk is now signed. The weapons that the Niners did have, everybody's locked and loaded. So they got to figure out how this defense can win them a game opening week.
You might be right. You've been very steady in saying that they need Hassan Reddick because they got to get to the quarterback. I don't disagree with a lot of that. Again, I'll come back to, they don't owe Hassan Reddick anything. It'd be nice to have him, yep, but they don't owe him anything. You're right in terms of, if they struggle against the Niners, maybe that opens up the eyes of Joe Douglas and they fold. But I'll take it the other way. Let's say they play, even if they lose, let's say they play well in San Francisco and the defense plays well. They just lose a good football game.
Yep.
We've looked at this schedule six different ways and sideways. They are going to win a lot of games. If they ever won in San Francisco without Hassan Reddick, they could get out to a 6-7-8-0 start.
Sure.
To which Hassan Reddick, we'll see you next year. I don't even know what you do at that point, aside from just report and play.
And then if you're Hassan Reddick, you're screwed, because one, you're not getting the money back, right? The money you're losing, right? You're not getting it back. You're never going to see it back. And two, the Jets on paper look like they don't need you. Now on film, they don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're Hassan Reddick, like, this is when you look at your agent like, so what now?
Right.
Where do we go now?
And I'm not saying that they wouldn't. I'm not saying that in the postseason or when they do and the schedule toughens up a little bit. I'm not saying they wouldn't need him. What I'm saying is they have an opportunity. If they ever won that Monday night game without him in San Francisco, they have so many winnable games in September and October that he will become an afterthought.
Well, what's interesting, too, about the – so the Jets kept 10 defensive linemen. They kept 3 undrafted D linemen. So they have room to pay him right now.
Mm-hmm.
They can make moves and get it done. I don't understand, and I'm not Joe Douglas, so I can't speak for him, but I don't understand to this point why a deal can't happen. You know what I mean? Because you've made moves to make a deal happen.
Right.
So I don't know where the disconnect is with Joe Douglas and Hassan Reddick.
Unless it's just how much they want and the demands and what they are willing or not willing to do. Yesterday was the first time. So remember we were talking, I think it was with you, we were talking about when the Hard Knocks with the Giants first came out. And I sat here and said, watching Shane and Dable and the way they interact, I feel really comfortable with the Giants going forward, because of what they have running the show for the first time in a long time. It just seems right. It seems like you've got two guys in control that know what they're doing. And if you're a Giant fan watching those episodes, I would feel pretty good about the future of the Giants in the, you know, in the not so distant future. I have felt with Joe Douglas being here with the Jets that while I understand some people say that Aaron Rodgers is running the show, I don't buy that to that entire degree, but I feel pretty good about Joe Douglas's leadership in that building.
I do too. I like Joe. I haven't talked to him one-on-one, spent some quiet time with him. He understands what's going on all over the building. I don't think there's a situation where he's just, not that he's not doing a job, but I think he has a pulse on every position in that building.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the first time I was wincing listening to him. And only from the standpoint of, you know, whether you're trying not to annoy the other guy or the agent or whatever, that's what it sounded like. Just don't answer the question.
It's
or
tough.
Just answer it with, guys, I don't talk about contracts.
Yeah,
how many times do I have to tell you?
That's tough, right? Because we talked about Todd Bowles the other day, and you were talking about how he didn't give enough, right, to the point. And valid, the team was failing behind him.
Yep.
But there was you kind of stood on the box. Like, listen, if we would have got more out of Todd Bowles, and I know this GM, whatever, I'm just talking about from a position from a leadership position. If we would have got more out of Todd Bowles, we would have had a different perspective. I think Joe D feels at this point, it's not adding up. The math isn't mathing. How do you get a top premier pass rusher in the building in April who's willing and ready to be a Jet, and then there's a super disconnect? And right now, you out of reports that came out yesterday, you guys haven't talked. There hasn't been any conversation between the agent and Hassan,
which he did admit.
He did admit. So if that's the case, then what's really going on here? Are you working it out, or are you not working it out?
Right. But I'm not arguing that point. I guess the idea that I was struggling with is the whole. We have a lot of respect for him. We have a lot of respect for the agent. I mean, he just kept saying the same thing over and over.
He may not have nothing to say, Jim.
Right? But That's my point.
Okay.
Instead of sounding like you're almost bowing down to them, because that's what it sounded like to me.
If he says nothing, glosses over it or kind of just pushes it to the side, now I think from the Jets fan perspective, we would have to have a sense of panic. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's the other way. If I'm Joe Douglas and I sit up there and say, listen, made the trade for him, and however you want to phrase it, we've been unable to reach a deal. We thought we were good. I'm not talking about the contract anymore.
I think for the Jet fans that are walking into the season with tempered emotions, if Joe Douglas doesn't sound like something's happening in the positive, I think we now look at the situation like, man, this is worse than we anticipated, because one, they're not talking, he's not talking, he hasn't let us into any insight of what's going on between the two. Mm-hmm. How bad really is the situation? Considering that you got Jermaine Johnson, you're asking Will McDonald to make a second year leap like Jermaine Johnson had. I've been on record of saying, I think Will McDonald will be a guy, just not right now. He's 6'4", 245 pounds, who hasn't played a continuous, you know, his volume hasn't played enough pretty much. So I'm saying to myself, you damn sure from a ball player standpoint, we need Hassan Reddick. I don't care what the schedule looks like. We need Hassan Reddick.
We'll see what happens. All I know is that was, to me, odd-looking and sounding yesterday for the first time from Joe Douglas. And that doesn't mean I think he's done a bad job. It just means it sounded
terrible. If he would have said nothing,
terrible.
Jerry, would
have sounded a lot better than that yesterday.
Okay.
Because to me, first time I've really heard him seem this way, it sounded like he was the person chasing or worried about the other side, as opposed to the other side worrying about what the Jets think. And to me, the Jets are the team in control here. I understand you think they need Hassan Reddick to win. A lot of people do.
Yes.
What I do know is this is a damn good football team, and if you don't want to be a part of it, and if it's the agent that screwed it up, we don't need you. Let us know when you're ready. And I would have rather him just said, I am not talking about the contract. We thought we had a deal in good faith. Hasn't worked out. He'll be here when he's here. And that's it. Move on.
I think a part of it is you say less and stay on the positive, because you still want to bait the man in the building. You don't want to continue to piss him off or say things where he constantly has to answer questions about how the GM feels about him in the situation. So I think it's a little chess match on Joe Douglas' part.
It is that for sure. That having been said, we're heading. It's over. Preseason's over. We head into Labor Day weekend now, and then everything gets real Thursday, Friday, and then, of course, next Sunday and Monday with the Jets and the Niners. What is this? I think I saw the Giants have a couple of days off. I'm sure the Jets probably do, too. What is the difference now in terms of the routine from what you just went through for the last month? Now, week one, it counts. The different feeling, the emotion, and I guess the different schedule that changes now going into week one.
I think the anxiety, the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in the building, he's going to be playing for you, and you're crossing your fingers that he doesn't get hurt after four snaps because you understand the ramifications of that. And I think from the offensive side of the ball for the Jets, you're now looking at a guy who can really get it done for you, right? Like, we competent quarterback playing this league with weapons can take you a long way. Now you have a guy who's in the lead, who's an elitist at that. So now there's a sense of, all right, we just got to do our, I got to do my job. Mm-hmm. We got to do our job as a unit, and let's go finally turn this thing around, because that's all these guys have been hearing. With Aaron Rodgers, we're talking playoff or possible Super Bowl. Without Aaron Rodgers, this can be what we did last year and potentially blowing this whole thing up. So they're straddling both emotions. So I think from if I was on that ball club, my anxiety comes from, let's just start winning games so we can get the public off our back, we can get the naysayers off our back, and we can now be seen in a different light.
And they'll see a 49ers team that will have Brandon Ayuk
fired up.
Yes, and ready to go, but still no Trent Williams. And from what I was reading this morning, it doesn't look like anything is even I'm not saying it is or it isn't. A deal could come down in the next 2 hours. I don't know. But from what I was reading this morning, it seems like they're not close.
Do you see? You know how exhausted John Lynch has to be?
Well, he sounded exasperated the other day. Yes.
Especially when talking about Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, like, yeah. I think you got to understand, John Lynch was a hell of a fight safety for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, like, he understands both sides of the coin. I think at this point, when football's ready to go, he's ready to be a part of the football situation and play football. But I think Trent Williams holding out hurts him because this is all about Brock Purdy and this offense. And Trent Williams, they use him in a multitude of ways. He is their enforcer and leader. Not having that guy walking your team out of the locker room like we've seen time out of time, it is a cause for concern. But they had to get Ayuk done. They had to figure it out. So now they're doing that, and Trent's going to happen when it happens.
I always wonder. So the Ayuk thing has lingered on for months, really. I mean, and you had the back and forth where he didn't say goodbye to San Francisco, but was very cryptic on social media about his time.
Which I hate. I'm very anti the way these ball players.
A lot of them do it.
Like, anytime they have an issue with the ball club or whatever, there's, all right, let me go to social media, scrub my social media. And I think it's such a beta way of handling this situation. You know what I mean? Like,
your last year was what?
With the Jets?
Yeah.
Officially 15.
15. So
going into 16, yeah.
At that point, what type of presence did you have on social media, or were you really just kind of getting into it still?
I was anti-Twitter. I did not want Twitter. I didn't want Twitter, and I didn't want Instagram because I didn't understand it, and I hated it. It was my teammates and my wife who actually started my accounts.
Really?
And then for damn near 2 months, and probably, to be honestly, present, you can't get me off the thing. I social media surfed my tail off, and I've gone down some rabbit holes I probably shouldn't have.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so.
But I guess, so in 15, your final year, were you on it to where you would see a lot of the fan reaction, or not so much yet at that point? Because it's happened so rapidly. I mean, you think about when we moved into this building.
I think social media has been the ultimate demise of the athlete, to the modern day athlete.
Demise in what way?
We're more accessible more than ever because of DMs.
Oh, in terms of getting in your head and knowing what's
getting
going on.
Getting in your head. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, want a quick story? I know we got to push out of here in a little bit. My last year with the Jets, I forgot who we were playing. And it took me a long time to get ready for the game because I had a number in my knees, a bunch of things. So I was always the first guy in the building type. Me and David Harris, we call hot tub boros because we'd go in the hot tub, you know, and get breakfast. We kind of get into our routine. And I remember getting ready to warm up for the game. And I'm walking out with one of the young guys. I think he played tight end for us. And I was when I walked into the building, I was locked in. Like, that was it was me entering the gladiator dome. This is thunder. I'm ready to do my job and get busy. Fast forward, man, I'm walking onto the field, you know, locking in, and this guy's walking at me. He's bopping ahead. We're kind of having, you know, we're talking a little bit. He goes, hold up, I'll be back. I'm like, oh, what's up? You left something? He goes, yeah, I got to go get my phone. I'm like, what you need your phone for? He goes, the gram, bro. I got to put it on the gram. I got to put my warm up on the gram. And I said, what? I said, you worried about the gram? And he was just like, yeah. I was like, here I am praying I make it through the second quarter. I've got every ointment in the building on my body. My focus is only getting after the guy in front of me. And I'm walking on this field like, all right, Willie, this is Sunday. Let's fight, big dog. And you're worried about followers? Mm-hmm. You're worried about the gram?
Yep.
And so I was like, yeah, it's time. This is it.
That was your... So Boomer always says his moment was being chased by a young Ray Lewis and realized, I can't do this anymore. So yours was Instagram.
It was just... I didn't... That level of what... The priorities at the moment. Like, I would have never thought about my phone. I didn't care about pictures. I didn't care. I was like, man, I gotta get it done today.
We are so far from that.
Jerry, this guy panicked because he didn't have the phone.
I believe
he wasn't even panicked that he was about to get decapitated by the guy he was going against. All he cared about was his followers getting on TikTok. Yeah. Him. And what he did was he took his phone, because I watched him. He propped it against the pylon. And all he did was a couple of burpees and, you know, toe raises and a stretch. And then... downloaded it and was like, yeah, you know, getting ready for game day, check me out. Yeah. And I was just like, nah.
Jack. Oh, no. Yeah.
And I was like, nah, this is closing time.
Yeah. It's starting to pass you by with the young guys coming up. It's a different game.
And I came from Pittsburgh where, like, guys had their headphones on. The tensity in the locker room was so tight and tough. And, you know, we were just, we came out like a gang. We were so like a brother of bandits. So now these guys are like, no, I got to get my phone, my gold chains, and I got to look good for the gram before I.
It's a new world.
It was tough.
It is a new world. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got CeeLo. We'll get into the Giants, the Malik Nabers jersey stuff, which is odd and interesting all at the same time. And the Mets won a big game yesterday in Arizona. They're not dead yet. All that and more. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, great to have you with us. The final summer Friday / first football Friday. Weird to say that. Built for Tough Studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. And Chris Lopresti is here. And I cannot believe, having listened to you and Zoo yesterday,
that dude's had a dog for 9 years and he's never said anything.
Aren't you glad that I kind of did a little bio on him? I had no idea.
That was Big Zoo, the guy that was here the last couple days.
Oh, big fella. Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah.
What happened to his dogs? Dog's okay?
Yeah, his dog's fine. I was saying to him, I've known him here at work for a long time, but I don't know much about him outside of work. So I started kind of interviewing him essentially about, you know, what goes on in his life when he's not here. And he revealed that he's been a dog owner since he went to college in West Virginia. He's got a golden retriever, Duke.
Which is crazy, only from the standpoint of, A, you wouldn't think that, because he's young, right? 28, he said?
Yeah, he's single, you know.
I wouldn't have thought, not that he has a dog, but since he's like 19, he's had this dog, or 20.
but also Al Dukes, our producer, has had a dog for a few years and does nothing but complain about it. And Zoo's never chimed in with anything.
He likes his
about
dog.
Being a No. But I mean, in terms of being a dog owner, he's never chimed in with advice or maybe stories he's had with the dog. That's all.
I don't know if that's something you always throw out there. I think it is.
But I think in this setting, I think it would have made sense.
Well, if Willie knew more about Al's dynamic with Winsy, okay, I think he'd understand. But
that is true.
Yeah.
I did like the one line when he said something to the effect of, after I got the dog, I realized, oh, crap, yeah, I actually have to take care of this thing.
Yeah, a lot to do.
You know how many moms and dads around the world realize that?
That's why I refuse to get one. My kids actually from whenever
they're home. I'd bring in a kid home, I meant.
Oh.
Well,
that's what I meant.
There are some similarities,
yes,
yeah. And we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, yeah. I know when my wife had our older son, we were in the hospital only a couple, a day or two. Yeah. It wasn't long. And I remember the nurse walking us out, and she's like, all right, good luck. I'm like, you're not coming with us? We really have to do this
what
now.
Do we do?
And it was pretty crazy the first time around.
They send you home with a human.
Yes.
A little tiny human, and it's on you.
You have a schedule I could look at?
Yeah,
or
right.
Help, please.
Flow chart, something?
Anything.
Where's the charger? Do I need a charger for this?
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't that be something? All right, Chris, what do you got?
All right, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Gut check. Rubber game victory for the Mets yesterday to follow up Wednesday night's disappointment.
Diaz trying to get him back today. The 2-2 pitch. Popped him up. Shallow center. Lindor backpedaling, waving his arms underneath it. Makes the catch. And the Mets take the finale. They win the rubber game against Arizona. And they take 2 out of 3, winning this one 3-2.
That's Keith Rabb with the final call. Odyssey Mets Radio's Carlos Mendoza went right back to Edwin Diaz, and this time around he threw 17 fastballs one slider and pretty much blew away the Diamondbacks.
You know what's
ninth.
Funny about that, though, is if you watched the game 2 nights ago, his problem was he couldn't get the fastball over the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the pitch. I think the first batter, he walked on 4 pitches. I have to go back and watch it, but I think it was 4 straight fastballs of like 96 plates. So the fact that he had more command yesterday, big difference.
And we heard in the cuts yesterday morning regarding that performance about the mechanical issues coming out of the bullpen, not feeling like he had command or anything like that. Well, they made sure to take care of all that before yesterday's game.
Yeah, I thought yesterday we have after the game. We both agree what's going on. I came early today and work with them and everything went fine today.
I like that. You know,
good.
Day game after night game, show up early, work out the kinks, then he goes right back out there and nails down.
And I love that he pitched again.
Yes.
And, didn't give the whole you need the day off nonsense.
Exactly. So he takes care of business. It adds up to a series victory for Mendoza's club.
Huge win, especially winning the way we did. Close game, got down, Lindor ties it up with a huge at bat, huge homer. Mm. But then finding a way.
That was a game-tying homer for Lindor in the fifth, where he fouled off 5 out of 6 pitches after a 2-2 count before going deep. Pete Alonso also homered, and Jose Iglesias came up with the decisive hit. Go-ahead RBI single in the top half of the ninth, which set up the save for Diaz. A lot of outward emotion from Iglesias when he got to first base, gesturing towards the dugout.
I just able to come through for the team. I've been grinding the whole series long. Played good defense for my guys, and I was able to find a hole and put the team on a really good position.
And Jesse Winker were all fired up.
Yeah, and I have that one of those things I want to actually talk about at 7 o'clock when we get to the Mets, because it was Winker too, but even Lindor when he hits the home run.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can tell this team, and I'm going to go back to the Nimmo comments from Wednesday night when talking about how you win as a team, you lose as a team, but it is an individual game, and a lot of these guys probably felt like they had the game won Wednesday and didn't. And for them to come back and win this way was pretty good.
Also, David Peterson, excellent again.
Unbelievable.
7 innings, 2 runs, answers the bell for his team. He's got a 1.86 ERA across his last 6 starts. He's been one of the better pitchers in baseball during that span. So all things considered, 6-4 in this 10-game stretch against good competition. Orioles, Padres, and Diamondbacks, not too shabby. But, of course, you look at the other side, could have been 6-1 through San Diego and Arizona.
Sure.
Plus, they actually lose ground in the standings overall because the Braves have won 7 out of 10, though Atlanta did lose last night in Philadelphia.
Shocking.
5-4. Padres
lost
as well.
And you saw how the Phillies won that game, too. They were down 4-0 in that game.
Castellanos homer to center.
Yeah, they got
deep to left.
They got 4 runs in whatever inning it was, and then Castellanos with the home run. I get you.
Yeah, he likes the deep to left, but this one was...
Was there any news of note on this day where we knew he was going to hit a home run?
there's a rumor floating around out there that we're going to lay off for now, which you and I discussed off the air.
I hope that's
so
wrong.
I hope it's wrong as well. So we'll leave that alone for now.
Yeah.
Padres did lose as well, 4-1 to the Cardinals. So the Mets, three back for that third NL wildcard spot as they head to Chicago to face the White Sox. Tyler McGill, opposed by Jonathan Cannon tonight, is an 8-10 first pitch. The Dodgers beat the Orioles 6-3 in LA. So the Yankees are now two clear of Baltimore in the loss column heading into tonight's series opener with the aforementioned Cardinals, who come to the Bronx. You got Marcus Stroman and Eric Fetty on the mound. Pregame coverage 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Let's get to Joe Douglas and the Jets now. A lot of Hassan Reddick holdout talk yesterday as Douglas met the media ahead of next week's season opener.
Nothing's changed from our end. Obviously, a ton of respect for Hassan and awaiting his arrival. And, you know, looking forward to when he does, he's going to be welcomed with open arms.
Can you picture the big bear hug from Douglas when Reddick finally...
Where you been?
How are you, man? How are you doing? How was your summer? What have you been up to?
You're only getting a bear hug if there's a contract.
Right, yes.
Making videos, stepping over.
Oh, God.
Yeah, doing foot ladder drills.
So Douglas did reveal he's not spoken to Reddick directly since he was last in Florham Park, which was on April Fool's Day, I think, right? First couple of days of April. So he won't negotiate until Reddick returns to team headquarters. So with the way all this has played out, why make the trade to begin with without the new contract agreement in place?
In simple terms, we did talk about an extension once that once one wasn't agreed upon. You know, we had the conversation and we felt good about making the trade,
which they did,
and that's where
we are.
You asked me what I would have said.
Yep.
Exactly what he said is what I would have said, and if they kept asking me about it, I would have kept giving you the same answer. I just answered you. This is what happened. There's nothing else to it. And if you keep on asking questions for a different side, go talk to the other side. This is what happened.
Yeah, but the problem is there's a clear disconnect, right? One side is saying...
That's fine, but go talk to that side then.
Yeah, but then, but Hassan Reddick's not saying anything because he understands that he doesn't have the leverage. The agent's definitely not saying
anything. Is the agent the anonymous agent that leaked that thing to the Athletic yesterday about Aaron Rodgers?
Then we just leave it there.
Which is the most dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
If you watch that, Jerry, you referenced it. The video from, what was it, from One Jets Drive?
Yes.
6 minutes of Rodgers mic'd up on the field. They love him.
I know they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. He's like having a coach on the field.
Yeah.
But I would have let what he said there was perfect. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else to say.
I agree with you, Jerry. I think right now the biggest issue with the Jets is, especially if you're a fan like we are, you want all the nonsense to get out the way before we go to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's holding this team back right now is obviously the health of Aaron Rodgers and his offensive line. And on the defensive side, you know they can be all world. But with Hassan Reddick, now we're talking, there's a legit conversation about playoffs and Super Bowl. So if that's the case, let's get it done. And considering I talked to you about the roster moves they made, they have three undrafted guys. There's room for growth. They put money aside to make the deal. So why isn't a deal being made? Solely because he's not in the building? Is that what you get? Well, we can get in the building and we can talk. Like, well, the reason he's not in the building is because you haven't talked. So somebody has to be the adult in the room. This is where we want the adult to stay up. Like, hey, we're a week away from this thing. You know, we're pressing the launch button. Let's figure it out.
Let's get it done. Unless I'm Joe Douglas, I talk to you about an extension. We are miles apart. We continue to talk, and you tell me, you know what? I'll play, and we'll figure it out after the season. If that conversation was had, and I'm Joe Douglas now, I'm pissed off because you lied. And I'm not saying they did or they didn't.
That's fair.
That's what it appears to me has happened here.
Well, or that, or Hassan Reddick's team has lied to him.
Well, I'm not saying Reddick. I'm saying the agent.
Correct.
Somewhere, somebody told the Jets something. They have gone back on their word, and now the Jets are left looking like fools when they probably thought that they were working in good faith.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that there weren't boundaries and things set in place before Hassan Reddick got on that plane and up the parkway and came to New Jersey. So,
I agree.
On the other side of this matchup, we're looking forward to Jets-Niners coming up Monday night, week one. The Brandon Ayuk situation settled a day after we heard John Lynch say, at some point, you got to show up, get back on the field, and play. Well, that'll happen as Ayuk agrees to a four-year, $120 million extension at $76 million guaranteed, $47 million to be paid out before next April 1st. The notable detail here, at least I thought, reportedly the same offer that's been on the table from the team for the last 3 weeks or so. So I guess ultimately Ayuk kind of said, all right, well, Nothing else out there. There were a couple of trade talks that kind of fell through. I saw the Broncos were involved in some potential three-team trade.
And, Pats. He didn't want to go to Pats because he didn't trust the quarterback situation. The Steelers actually had money for him. Yeah. Just didn't
and he did get $76 million
guaranteed. Yeah, he'll be okay. Yeah, he'll be just fine. Will there be a similar resolution with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys? I never got around to playing this yesterday, and I'm glad I didn't because the original version I had left out a key line, which I will get to in a second.
Oh,
but here was what sounded like a compliment, I thought, from Jerry Jones.
I'm such a fan of Dak's and appreciate all of the great things that we all know that he's there. And I appreciate his work ethic probably more than anything out here. And I can't tell you how proud I am that we've got him this year to start this campaign.
This year. It all sounds right. Now, this year. Just before that line, in the same breath, he said this regarding Dak and an extension to keep him around long term.
You could easily say, if you hadn't seen it by now, you haven't seen it.
Now, this was Wednesday, okay?
So what was that? If you haven't
seen it by now, like regarding, you know, the way I interpreted it was, yeah, the bag, you see the guy, maybe I have that wrong, but that's how it sounded. So that was Wednesday. Flash forward to yesterday, and Dak responded.
You don't need a deal done before the season.
I don't need a, no. No.
Would you like it done before the season?
I think it says a lot if it is or if it isn't. But however, doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you.
What does it say if it isn't?
Just how people feel.
And then regarding Jerry's most recent comments.
I stopped honestly listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. So
makes sense.
Doesn't really hold weight with me.
It's a little back and forth here.
The fact of the matter is, I love the guy. You know that.
Yes.
And I know a lot of Cowboy fans don't. I love the guy.
Dak or Jerry?
Both, actually.
Okay.
You meant Dak, though, yes?
But yeah, I mean, in this case, yes. But both, to answer your question. He's made $160 million after this year.
Yeah.
Like, they've paid him. It's not like he's been working on the rookie minimum for the last 4 years. He made $160 million.
And that was after the big injury, too.
Right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I do think they will have a contract. Mm. If they don't, he will be elsewhere. And the one thing that all I keep reading is that he will be wearing the blue and red next year.
Mm.
That is one thing that I see all over the place.
The blue and red is in the Giants?
Correct. Mm. That he will be the next Giants quarterback.
Interesting.
If he gets to free agency. I don't think he will. I do think a deal will get done. I really do think the Jones family loves it. I mean, he is a great face for an organization. He's a great player, too.
Yeah, everything Jerry said.
He's a great guy.
Everything Jerry said, I don't think anybody didn't agree with. Like, we all knew Dak works hard. He's the ultimate pro, does everything you ask him to do. The issue right now, he hasn't won the big one.
Correct.
It's been many
playoff games at all.
Right. It's been redundant year after year. He's amazing during the regular season, and we judge top-tier quarterbacks of what they do in the postseason. He hasn't been that guy. So, I don't know. Jerry, I'm with Dak. Like, I would turn off the radio, too.
Absolutely.
Because Jerry talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
He talks too much.
Yes.
Well, he's one of these guys, and I love him, but the fact that he's on the radio, I think, on Tuesdays and Fridays in Dallas, I think he's on the fan.
That's amazing.
I'm going to be honest. The Tuesday press is the ones I look forward to.
Yeah, oh, they're all great.
It's all emotion.
Yeah. But he does that. He talks to the media after the games. He talks to the media
pretty much like minutes after the game.
Yes,
usually,
he's
right?
Like the first one with the media scrum. Even Steven talks on the radio once a week. Like
he has his own bit.
And I think Steven's really the one that's really running the team at this point. Yeah. And I think we've seen that with the way they've drafted of late. But he just talks too much. Mm-hmm. That's all. And sometimes says things that he probably shouldn't.
Well, nobody's taking the mic out of his hand either.
No. Oh, so no.
Everybody in that locker room has to just go for the ride.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm out of time, so quickly, Rutgers did win.
Yes.
Home opener last night, season opener against Howard, 44-7, which included a little controversy.
Knock
a little bit. I'm just saying the coaches didn't exactly see eye to eye, so
nonsense.
We'll get to that. And also at the U.S. Open, I'm not even going to try and say the guy's name, so here he is saying it himself.
John
Botic
McEnroe.
Van de Zandschulp. Botic van de Zandschulp. Botic van de Zandschulp.
That's the dude who beat Carlos Alcaraz in straight sets.
Bogus van de Zandschulp.
Botic van de Zandschulp.
Boldic.
Not
is that a
Boldic.
Name?
Botic van de Zandschulp.
Boldic.
The phonetic Botic Fond de Jean Hope.
Play it one more time.
Botic. Well, he's kind of using the European side.
Botic van de Zandschulp.
Botic van de Zandschulp.
He's Dutch. And he beat Alcaraz in straight sets.
Yeah, sounds like a foot rash. Yeah. It doesn't sound.
Doc, what do I have?
I'll read you our guy, Pat Boyle's tweet, because he's there covering the U.S. Open. So
Botic van de Zandschulp.
Has been so horrendously bad the last 12-plus months, he's been considering retiring from tennis at age 28. And he beats Alcaraz in straight sets. Last night.
That's got to be one of the biggest upsets in U.S. Open history,
so. No? Yeah. Wow. It's got to be up there for sure.
You know what that's called? Playing down to your competition.
Mm. Oh, like the Mets.
Which
and
we were talking are. About, yes. Exactly. All right, Chris, we'll see you next hour. Yes, Thank you very much. On the other side, a little bit on the Giants, Malik Nabers, this whole jersey stuff. We'll get to the Mets coming up at 7 o'clock as well. And the Jalen Brunson interview with Mark Cuban. Very, very interesting. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, a little past quarter to 7. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number if you'd like to get in. Just a couple of minutes on the Giants. A couple of different standpoints. Number one, before we just talk about, you know, their preparation now for the Vikings and expectations and all that, the Malik Nabers jersey thing is interesting to me. So he had number 9.
Yep.
I believe they sold Malik Nabers jerseys already in number 9. I mean, when you get drafted and you start wearing it, you see them in minicamp and then, you know, training camp. I would think there are number 9 jerseys out there. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I would think. And then we find out earlier this week he's going to wear number 1 with permission of the late Hall of Fame Giant defensive end Ray Flaherty, who retired in 1935. Now, I heard that and I thought, very respectful. They talked to the family. I don't know if the family felt pressured into saying yes. They could have said no, I don't, whatever. But they got the blessing from the family. And I thought we were good. And yet, I have a couple of friends and family members that are Giant fans that are annoyed by this because it's a retired number. And I guess the reason why I didn't think much of it is because, you know, the Knicks have retired numbers. They're like multiple guys have retired numbers with the same number. And at some point, we're going to run out of numbers. We're not there yet, obviously, but I don't know. It's
kind of the Yankees thing, right? The Yankees have a bunch of retired numbers, and everybody starts like, well, why are we?
Well, yeah, now you know you got to start wearing bigger numbers because basically 0 through 9 is all gone. I mean, I just didn't think it was that big a deal, but clearly, I think I'm wrong on this now.
Well, I don't think it's a big deal. I think right now, once you get the blessing from the family, it's onward and forward, right? I
thought so too. I have a friend of mine. He's a little older than me.
What's the pushback overall? Because
his point was that number's retired. It's a sacred number. You shouldn't even ask. And the Giants are about tradition and history, which I do agree with. I don't know. I'm surprised by some of the reaction. I'm not saying it's the overall, you know, prevailing theme, but I've heard it.
I also think it depends on the guy, right? Like, so for instance, if like 75 for the Pittsburgh Steelers should never be worn ever, shouldn't even be asked. It's Mean Joe Green. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of the godfather of the NFL, if you will.
What about 100 years from now? And I'm not saying that in a stupid way. I'm saying,
I think certain guys, because of what they mean to the sport, right? Jackie Robinson's number should never be worn again.
100%. That's so, like, a different issue, though.
100%. But I think there's levels to it. No disrespect to the Flaherty family, but like a lot of guys, like I didn't know who he was prior to this. I think most guys, unless you're a Giants fan,
sure,
or a historian for the team, you really don't know. So I can understand the leeway in that regard. But if there's like LT's number, because of what he meant to the position, the game of football, and the Giants should never be touched. So I think I don't think you could. I don't think it's an apples to apples thing.
But I'll come back to the same thing I just asked you. In the year 2120.
Yeah.
They'll know about Lawrence Taylor for sure. I'm not saying they wouldn't if you read the history books, but you can't wear 56 100 years from now? Like, think about what we're
talking
about.
Because of the guy.
No, I understand that, but it's 100 freaking years from now. Like, I actually think we're to the point with 3 with the Yankees. Let's get over it. I mean, the guy hit home runs 100 years ago.
But it's the salt in the swat.
I know that.
No disrespect to Flaherty. He didn't impact the game the way Lawrence Taylor impacted the game.
Fair. And there's a lot of great players in the past that didn't do that. Of course.
Right. So there's certain people that were bigger than the sport during the time they played. Like Jim Brown, bigger than the sport. Lawrence Taylor, bigger than the sport. Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana. Like, those certain guys who are like Mount Olympus type athletes. Those guys, Tom Brady.
But you're starting to name a lot, and I think it starts to become very subjective too. Like, where's the line?
I think you can't wear that number. He won two Super Bowls. How many guys have ever done that?
I think the line is if you've impacted a sport to the level where the sport has evolved.
Where you change the game.
Yes. Okay. I think that's the line for me.
Like okay. So then in that regard, then, I would think, then there are retired numbers all over all the major sports that could be worn again because not all of them change the game.
100%.
I mean, to me, that's fair. I suppose
you never going to wear Magic's number, right? I wouldn't even dare to wear the pressure of even putting Magic Johnson's number on my back. Michael Jordan, forget about it.
Okay, Michael. All right, so Michael Jordan would be in the Babe Ruth level.
Yeah, 100%.
Fair enough. Magic Johnson in the year 2140. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. He retired in 1935.
Yeah, but Magic is to me, and I think I would assume to most people who love basketball, especially the way the NBA was built in the 90s, when that era between Magic, Larry, and Bird, Michael, Larry, and Bird, you know what I'm trying to say. I think those names, you're like, all right, those are Mount Olympus top guys. Like, you just, they're always going to be.
So how many does each organization have? One?
At least two.
Two?
Yeah, at least two. At least two. Come on.
I don't,
Cowboys?
Michael, 88 has been worn numerous times. Drew Pearson was my favorite, and then Michael Irvin comes along. He's wearing 88. Love the guy. Was it Jackie? I forget the hell the tight end's name was.
But I also wore 88. To what we talked about, I don't think he impacted Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Great, love him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think he changed the position nor changed the game because of what he did on the football field. He was just a huge player. Like Alvin Harper during that time was
retire 80. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. To me the line of. I don't know with the Cowboys who changed the game. Staubach, would he be the only one that he used to run and throw? I don't know. I mean, if that's your barometer, I don't know if there's really a number for the who changed it. Tom Landry's hat should be retired because he changed the way defenses play.
And then it's okay not to have one, too.
Right, and I don't know that the Cowboys do have one in that regard. As great as the organization has been in terms of winning a lot, I know the last 20 years has been interesting, but...
Yep.
Has there been a Cowboy that's changed the game? What, Too Tall Jones because he was 6'8" and he didn't see that before? No. Many people have worn his number since then.
See, for me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's Larry Allen.
No.
Larry Allen, for me, when he...
Changed the game?
From the left guard position, what he was able to do at his size and how dominant he was. Did he change the game from an aspect of the Lawrence Taylor? No. But I think if I'm a Cowboy on my and it's just me because I'm speaking as an offensive lineman, put on Larry Allen's tape and what he did during that time with that line.
One of the best that ever played.
Ever did it. He was a monster.
Won't argue that.
Point. Larry Allen, for me, would be, I'm like, we don't touch
Larry. He was 73? Does that sound right?
We wouldn't touch Larry Allen's number.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one's worn 8.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they've worn 80. I don't think anyone's worn 22 either, I don't think. But they also don't retire numbers. They just go in the ring, which I like. I actually like that better.
I like Rihanna's too, yeah.
The retiring of the jersey is cool, but there's too many of them now, to be quite honest with you.
So you're saying this doesn't mean as much?
I would say in certain cases it might not. That's why I like the Ring of Honor. Like, I don't think it's sacrilegious to wear someone's number. I think it's actually kind of cool. Like, the fact that Dez Bryant, the fact that CeeDee Lamb have gone and talked to Irvin just to make sure it's okay, whereas other guys were just given the number, I think that's respectful. I think it's actually very cool. It's almost like you're honoring that player, especially if they give you their permission. I think it's neat.
Yeah, I've been on record of saying when I got to the Jets, I wore 66 because of Al Fanick.
Right.
And then not because he was my locker mate, because I idolized him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was everything. And me leaving Pittsburgh, playing with him in Pittsburgh, and then obviously going to New York, I was like, you know, he just meant a lot to me and how I perceived the game. So I was like, I wanted to honor him and wear 66, so that's why I wore it. But I also, I didn't ask him.
But that was also with the Jets.
Correct.
Yeah. So here's Vinny and Wayne. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Jerry. I was actually I agree with that point. I'm a Yankee fan and a Raider fan. I know it's a weird combination, but with the Raiders, they don't retire numbers. And it's like an honor to wear that number. So, like, every time someone wears 24, Willie Brown and Charles Woodson would, like, talk to them about the honor of that number. And at training camp, one of the big things, and I know AP brought it back, is once you have that number, you have to tell everybody when, as a rookie, who wore that number before you and why it's meaningful.
That's cool.
I like that.
You know what? Actually, I like Vinny, that. I like that. That's a great call. Thank you. I think that's cool. And I agree with him. I think it's an honor to wear the number. I think it's neat.
My thing is, what happened if the guy's not a guy and he wants the number?
What?
Like, if you're asking for 24.
Well, my
point is, you're only taking that number if you're going to live up to the number.
So I think, and I hate to always reference the Cowboys, but that's the world I live in. That's why I think with Dez and CeeDee Lamb, I thought it was pretty cool because they came in with very high expectations. Mm-hmm. I don't think if you're just like Malik Nabers is coming in with incredibly high expectations. I don't think if you're a sixth-round draft pick that you just are hoping to make the team, I'd kick you out of the office. You want whose number? You'll get what we give you. It's different when you are a highly sought-after, thought-about, you know, draft pick. And in this case, from all accounts, he seems to be as much of a can't-miss as there is a can't-miss. I think it's a little different in this circumstance.
Yeah. Okay.
So we shall see. Anyway, very interesting. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, reset things a little bit. We'll keep talking about the football all morning long. We will also get into the Mets for a few minutes on the other side. We also have Lucy Burge talking NFL betting from Odyssey Sports, BetQL, and from BetMGM. That'll be at 8 o'clock. And Jalen Brunson, Mark Cuban. That interview was really cool to watch on the Roommates podcast. Get into that as well. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.